Well, it's good to be back here this morning. And as I mentioned last week, I'm going through the book of 1 John. So hopefully you caught that and you read ahead in 1 John last week. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 4 this week as we go through the book of John. And we're going to look at really the first six verses. So this morning's message may be short, it may be long. Wherever God leads me, I'm going through what I've prepared is what I need to deliver this morning. And so if you want to turn to 1 John chapter 4 in the back of your Bibles, we're going to go through those first six verses and dive into those and see what can we apply to our lives from those verses. And if you're a note taker, there's about, I came up with 3 points, but as I was sitting there kind of praying about it, I have another point, a fourth point that we'll try to work in, but really three major points and a conclusion as I go through this. So let's read 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the has come in flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know that the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, just open our hearts and minds to what it has to say this morning. Lord, let me speak what you have given on my heart for your people. And Lord, just let us to go out of here, change lives, and that we may change the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, as we look at those verses, they seem pretty straightforward. The first thing that hits you right in the face is, it says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Now, we in today's society think, well, spirits, that's kind of weird, isn't it? You know, we're around Halloween and we think spirits. But this is, you know, the spirits is a message, is a people, is a person that's bringing a message to you or to your church or to just out in the world. You know, in today's society, it is so important to follow this, to test this. We live in a society that prints everything. And do we believe what we read? If we believe what we read, we need to make sure we know that it's the truth. So an example of this, I think, is it brings us into that, you know, we have discernment in our hearts, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But an example, I think, of testing things would be, many of you have computers, right? And you probably have a virus protection on your computer. And that virus protection, when it sees a virus coming to get on your computer, in simple terms, it zaps it. I mean, there's a lot more to that, but it's supposed to stop that. Another example is, you know, you think of a missile defense system, and you think of all of the missiles that is in the air during the war, and your missile defense system picks out the enemy missiles and destroys it before it can attack. And in the same way, God gives us that discernment that when we see something coming our way that doesn't quite look right, we need to put our defenses up and really run that through some filters to say, is that really God's word that's coming to me? Is that really what I need to be listening to? It's just an example. You know, in Acts chapter 17, there's a good example of when Paul, you can turn there if you want, Acts chapter 17, verse 10. Paul and Silas has been sent to Berea to people to preach the gospel. And Acts chapter 17, verse 10 says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Even though it was Paul and Silas that was great teachers of the scriptures, these Bereans examined the scriptures to make sure that was true. And they looked to make sure that the message that they were telling them was truly of the Bible. Because Paul and Silas went in, you know, they didn't have the New Testament back then to compare things to. So they searched the Old Testament scriptures to see if what Paul and Silas was telling them about this Messiah, Jesus, was truly true to coming forth. It's 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as angel of light." We have to be careful, because that was, you know, Satan, very beginning, was disguising himself as good. Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." And you know, we see that all the time in today's. We hear it in the news that somebody is taking advantage of someone because they've sent them an email, or they've sent them a phone call saying, "Hey, we need to support this cause, or we need to give money to help this person. I need money for this or that." And you see that people that they are sucked into that because they want to help. You know, they really do want to help, but then they don't do the research and find out that that person is not who they say they are, and is a cause is not there. And as Christians, we have that responsibility to be responsible for what we do, and what we give to others. It's our responsibility to investigate that. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "But to test the spirit, hold fast to what is good." God loves us. He loves you, and He wants us to know the truth. But sometimes it's going to take time sometimes to investigate, to know things are true or false. And in today's world, we need to do that, you know, especially in churches and for our kids and for our grandkids. We need to make sure that what they are being exposed to, what they are being taught, is the truth. We even live in a world of technology that I can take a picture of this church with you sitting in it, excuse me, go to my software, and I can erase Tim from this picture saying he was never here. I mean, you've probably seen those advertisements on TV that, you know, how easy that is just to remove that. And if I show this to picture, somebody says, "See, Tim wasn't there. He's a heathen. He's running around on Sunday mornings. He's not the church." But when you investigate, was Tim there? You investigate with people and say, "Yeah, Tim was there." And it's important that we have that discernment in our hearts and ready to use when God calls us ready to use that. But then you think, well, yeah, I'm supposed to test everything, and I kind of know why, because there's, you know, Satan's running around and disguising himself. But how do we do that? You know, that's the thing. How do we test that? You know, if I told you, there's a cow in the back room. I don't know where that came up from, but a cow in the back room. Would you believe me? You should test that. You should listen. You should go back. You could smell. You could do all those things that was going to test whether that cow is in that back room. It's the same way with scriptures. We need to understand if somebody's preaching from the pulpit, teaching in a Sunday school, listening on TV, that we test those things. So how do we do that? Well, Matthew 7 is a good example of one way that we... I jumped ahead. I'm sorry. We test that. So we test that by God's word. And we test that by His word against His word, because we have the word, don't we? We have the word in front of us. And it's, you know, shame on us if we don't search through the word and know the word. You know, I encourage you, every one of you, as you're listening to me, as you're listening to, I know you're searching for a pastor, as you bring in people, have the scriptures in front of you, so when they're reading it, you can follow along and know that it's coming out of the word. And it's important that you do that. Psalms 119, 105 says, "The word is the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path." God's Word, right? The written Word of God that's passed through time, and it should guide us. 1 Corinthians 4:17 said, I do not write these things. Paul's writing to the Corinthians and telling them, you know, how they should live and different things, dealing with different things going on in the Corinthian church. And he says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you, for those you might have, though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Jesus Christ, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you that my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul's saying, hey, I'm writing this to you, and I'm almost taking you under a wing as my children, because of what he's saying. I love you enough to do that. But so that you know what I'm telling you is the truth, I'm sending Timothy, who's seen me do all these things and teach all these things everywhere, the same message. I'm sending him so he can reassure you of that. Because again, they didn't have the scriptures of the New Testament because they were just being written. As Paul was writing those letters to the Corinthians and John and Matthew and Mark, those were being written. So there had to be that verbal. So it's important that when we test someone, you know, other Christians is a part of that testing. You know, did they really say what they said? Is that what they meant? So it's important to include others in that. And again, since we have the scriptures, you know, one of my favorite verses, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped in every good work. Keep that scripture on your memory, because when you know that scripture, you say, well, all scripture, all everything that's in here is good for those things. What was it again? For teaching, right? Teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, man or woman, man meaning... I'm having trouble this morning. Man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. It's important that we look at the scriptures and that we test that. Because when you take the scriptures and you examine what the preacher is saying in front of you or the teacher is saying in front of you, you're looking at it and it's going into your heart as well. And it's equipping you for those things. Thank you, God. So we take that, you know, so that's kind of, you know, how we tested it one way against the scriptures of what God has already put in front of us. So when we read those scriptures, we can think, oh, yeah, that's what so-and-so said during class. Or that's what so-and-so said on the pulpit or on TV, which kind of brings us into the next one is test the messenger. Test the messenger. You know, it's important that and again, since you guys are looking for a pastor, that we find a pastor that sounds good and everything, but test him, because that's what the scripture tells us to do. Matthew 7, again, says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bush or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. What fruits? What is it? Does anybody think of what fruits those are? Fruits of the Spirit, I think, is what was being referenced there. Even though when Jesus said this, it wasn't in the scriptures because it wasn't written down, because Paul wrote those fruits of the Spirit so we would know what those were in Galatians. If you can mark this one in your Bible as well, Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. Let me read this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such there's no laws. As Christians, those are the fruits that should be coming out from us. And there's so many messages and on the Galatians 5:22 that could be preached. But for this morning, as a messenger of God's word, it's so important that we know that the person delivering that has these fruits in their life. At least some of these fruits that you can see and grow. That's why it's so dangerous for us in today's world to get hooked into some televangelist or a iPod or a podcast person or YouTube or whatever, because we don't really see what their fruits are, do we? I mean, we don't see that until it's in the news and it's bad. And that's why it's not that it's bad that we shouldn't listen to them, and because many of them is great teachers, and we can follow some of them, but always have your defenses up, your discernment up, and find out all that you can find out on that person as you're listening to them. You know, you may have been listening to someone for years, and then something comes out, and it crushes you. So many, I think, Christians that don't go to church, and they get watching televangelists or podcasters or YouTubers or all those things, they get so caught up, and they almost, I don't want to say they worship them, but they almost, like, that's where their life is at in listening to church. And when that person falls, it breaks their spirit, doesn't it? And we can do the same thing with somebody in the pulpit. You know, somebody in the pulpit can hide for years what's going on in their lives, but it'll eventually come out. So it's so important that they're preaching what God wants them to preach out of the Word of God that has been tried and true. Again, you know, we've got to beware of those false prophets. And Paul was writing, or not Paul, John was writing this letter because there was a heresy that was going on at that time, Gnosticism. Many of you probably heard of that, Gnosticism, where it wasn't teaching that Christ was born of God, wasn't a God in person. It was teaching that knowledge was better, and you got salvation through knowledge and all these things. So Paul, for John, was writing this for a reason. And same way in our world today, we need to make sure that the messages that we hear at the very root of it is based on Jesus Christ. Because if it's not based on Jesus Christ, then we shouldn't even be listening to it, really. And it's important that we know enough, each of us know enough of scriptures, that when we hear a message that helps build us up, encourages, to know that's based in Jesus Christ. You know, there's many churches, right? Hickory County has a bunch of churches. And those churches, the ones that teach Jesus Christ, you know, came, died, rose again, there's a lot of them. But, and that's the core of the church. When you're looking for a church, that's the core of the church. We all have individual things that we like to see at a church, right? Some of us like praise music. Some of us like piano music. Some of us like hymns. Some of us like organs. You know, those things doesn't necessarily, each one of them is not right or wrong as long as the root of that church is based on Christ. And that's the important thing, is as you look for a pastor, make sure that that's his basis. You may not like his tie, you may not like his boots, you may not like whatever, but is it based on Christ? Is that where it needs to be? And so as we go through life in this world, we look at and really I think that testing everything is a good thing, and it's that we need to do, whether it's the news, whether it's the gossip, whether it's just conversations, we need to know that we're hearing the truth. And as believers, we need to make sure that we're spreading the truth, not gossip and those things. So that's important. So as we look at the next point, is really asking, is the message worldly? Does it sound good to the world? And what I mean by that, there's so many, I think, so many messages out there that loves to make people feel good loves to make people promises, loves to make people, if you give to this church, you'll have long life, you'll have money, you'll have prosperous, you'll have happiness, you'll have power, you'll do all this. If you go to that church, you'll have this. You know, they like to entice people because of the message. And the world loves that message, but that's a dangerous message. Jesus even said in John 33, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have troubles, tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, when we become Christians, all the pain and suffering is not gone, is it, from this world? Sometimes it's worse because we are criticized for things. You know, luckily I've never lost a job. I've never been hurt too bad for being a Christian. I say that luckily. Maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe if I was, it would really understand the pain that Christ went through. But as Christians, there are Christians out there in this world that's lost their jobs, that's lost their families, that's lost their lives, all these things. I worked with a guy at Sprint. His name was Barry Rajai. He was from Iran. And when he became a Christian, his family almost disowned him for many years. And he told me the story. Lots of story there, but there was many times that trials and tribulation, and people go through those things. People go through those things that they lose family and friends. There's several people that you may know yourself that has lost their family because they have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And Jesus never said that it was going to be easy. He never said, I have no place to lay my head. Are you sure you want to follow me? And remember that story that, you know, the guy said, well, look, Jesus said, there's no place to lay your head. You're just going to roam from city to city. So even Jesus warned of that our message that we hear or that we give shouldn't be just pleasing to people to hear. You know, it's hard to hear the truth sometimes. We've all been in that situation where, you know, we've been wrong and we're told we're wrong, and that's hard to accept, isn't it? But when we look at Christ and what He did for us, He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." He wants us to always be living in that truth, no matter what the consequences are. So the next one, and this is the one that is kind of reverse. What should you not test things about? And this goes right along with this worldly message. We shouldn't test things with our feelings. Our feelings can deceive us. It may feel good to do this. It may feel good to, be mean to someone. It may feel good to do that. But is that right? Our feelings can deceive us. God gave us our feelings. I'm not saying they didn't, but we need to know how to read our feelings, and we need to know how to control our feelings as well. The next one is don't let somebody else's interpretation guide you. And what I mean by that, it makes sure that when they read scriptures, that if they're telling you something that comes from scriptures and they interpret it in a way that a red flag goes off, you need to cross-reference what they just said to other parts of the scriptures. You know, so many times scriptures will interpret it itself in other places in the Bible. And the more we know as Christians of reading the Bible, the better it is for us to be able to interpret what the scripture's saying. So many times the New Testament references scripture in the Old Testament. And unless you know that story of that Old Testament, you don't know what's going on there. You know, was it last week? I can't kind of these go together. Last week we talked about Cain. Did we talk about Cain here last week? We did. If you didn't know that story of Cain, you wouldn't know why did Cain get angry? Why did he kill his brother? Why did he lose control? It would just be a reference. And we as Christians, as born-again believers, we need to be in this. We need to be teaching our children. We need to be teaching our neighbors and, you know, and in church, we need to be teaching it because it's important to know that. So the last point, and I think it really leaves us on a high note. I touched on it a little bit last week, but he really brings it out. 1 John 4:4, read with me there. It says, "You are children of God. Little children, have I not overcome? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world." So the important message there is John speaking to his readers, he says, "You are of God, little children." And if you go back in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us." We are children of God, and that is special. That should be special to you, that you are a child of God. You are a child of God. And of a God that loves you more than anything, more than you can imagine. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many received him," meaning Jesus Christ, "to him he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name." That's important for us to know that. Because when we know that, John 16:13 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." Because you're a child of God, you have that virus protection built in, virus protection for the Satan's word, for that missile defense system is built in. When you see something coming your way that you know is not quite right, you can use the shield of faith and say, "Hey, I'm stopping that. I don't need to hear that. I don't need to know that." When you get into a conversation and with a group of people and the conversation starts to go south and really cut somebody down and hurt somebody's feelings and hurt their emotional well-being, you can say, "I don't want any part of this. I know where this is going." Because God gives you that discernment that you can help guide you through those situations. And the same way when you bring people in and have them in the pulpit, use that discernment as a church and say, "Is that the right person for me? Is that the right person that we need here?" And that Holy Spirit that is built into you is a promise from God. It says right there, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you." And so many times in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is our helper, isn't it? Is our helper to get us through these things that I've mentioned. So As I wrap up, really three things to remember from these six verses. One, test what you hear, whether that's the news, whether that's, you know, the when you go to the doctor and he says this is what you got to do, whether you hear from something from your neighbor, test it. Is that the right truth that I want? Is that the right truth for me? Is that what God wants? The other one is discern what you hear. When you hear those things, allow the Holy Spirit to help guide you through that process of testing that, you know, testing it against the Word of God, testing it against other facts, testing it with other Christians. You know, the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. And when we get together, we learn and we grow. And then finally, I think, never forget this, is that you are a child of God if you've been born again. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. And how, I mean, that's just, when you think about it, the creator of the universe, you can reach out and say, "Daddy, Father, I'm yours. Help me." And he loves to reach down and help us. So those are the things that this week that you remember each time you get out of bed. So as we close this morning, in song, just ask the Lord, what is it in my life that I need to really test right now? What is it that I'm believing that I need to test against Scripture? What is it that I have heard this week that I need to run through the Bible filter and make sure that it's right.